Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanamatakwasin, to all of our relations.
Oh!
drum Thunder Hill off their Canyon Records CD entitled For the Love Thunder Hill. That song was a Southern Plains style grand entry song. Grand entry songs begin each powwow when all the dancers first enter the powwow arena for traditional prayer, usually offered by the host tribal nation. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. In today's program, we focus on a very special organization, Smart Mammy, and its youth leadership program, STORY, Strategy, Training, and Organizing Resources for Youth. Yadkinishi Native Center is an intertribal, cultural, environmental, social justice, and news media organization is dedicated to promoting a global culture of peace, justice, and ecological health for all life. This vision is at the core of all of Yadkinishi Native Center's programs and projects. One major emphasis of our work is mentoring and encouraging youth, our future generation, to empower themselves to work for a better world. We do this by networking with various student and youth movements involved with cultural, social, racial, economic, environmental peace, justice, and anti-globalization issues. One example of Yadkinishi Native Center's support of youth is our journalism project, Communications for Community Activists, which trains young activists in messaging and media skills. Messaging, media, and campaign promotion skills are essential for getting one's voice heard. This is the case for many communities and concerns that have often been unnoticed in society or not reported on by the mainstream press. Communications is especially important when fighting for justice. As example, when government or industry actions threaten the well-being of a community and our Mother Earth. Another organization that shares this mission is Smart Mimi. Smart Mimi is a national holistic strategy project that links storytelling and social change to strengthen grassroots community groups. Smart Mimi, like Yadkinishi Native Center, believes in the power of organizing through the power of memes, which are ways of expression of a community's narrative. Narrative is another term for storytelling, a way of giving voice, a way of expression. Story is a lens through which we process information we encounter, cultural, emotional, experiential, political. It is the way a person or community can portray themselves or how others view them. Memes are bits of cultural information that tell our stories. They are a way of communicating a culture's history and wisdoms, current situations, and vision for the future. Depending on who tells or how a narrative is told, that story could unite or divide people, obscure certain issues, or spotlight others. A story can inform and enlighten, or it can also be used to deceive, mislead, cover up, or falsify the truth. Understanding communications, analyzing and examining messaging, which has so much influence in the state of the world, especially now in the information age of the 21st century, is a critical necessity if we are to create a global culture of peace and justice. A good example are the numerous public relations campaigns by business and industry that should really be called public deception campaigns. Smart Meme, like Yadkinishi Native Center, has supported a range of grassroots issues by providing strategy organizing to various activist groups around North America. Yadkinishi Native Center over the years has had the honor to partner with Smart Meme at several of these events. One very special gathering with Smart Meme's national training known as Insight Insight. Insight Insight was a 3-day training retreat focused on organizing, strategy, storytelling, and reflection. It was a space for youth to plan and strengthen their activism. I was invited to be one of several elders to share experience and promote intergenerational and cross-cultural learning. Smart Memes 3-Day Insight Storytelling, Movement Building, and Creating a Cultural Strategy Training was held in the traditional homeland of the Penacook Indian Nation in what is now present-day central and southern New Hampshire. This northeast woodland Merrimack River watershed is a beautiful area of forest, hills, lakes, and ponds, very similar to my neighboring Wabanaki tribal territory. The conference site, Owl's Nest Lodge on Bradley Lake, is in the shadow of Gawas-Iwajo, Windfall Mountain known as Mount Kearsarge. Gawas-Iwajo is a place I know well due to the nearby Mount Kearsarge Indian Museum, where for a time I often lecture to visitors on the cultural history of Northeast Woodland Indigenous peoples. Smart Meme Strategy and Training Project was founded to support struggles for justice, peace, democracy, and an ecological future. Smart Meme are people who believe in the power of ideas, the power of collective wisdom of communities, and the power of stories to change the world for the better. These are values and principles Yad Kiddushi Nehru Center believes in, and is why Yad Kiddushi Nehru Center is honored to network and support Smart Meme whenever we can. We urge all of our worldwide listeners to likewise appreciate and support Smart Meme. I would like to now introduce a co-founder and co-director of Smart Meme, Mr. Patrick Rinesborough. Patrick is a longtime grassroots organizer, campaigner, and media strategist who has worked on a wide range of socio-cultural, economic, and environmental justice issues. I first met Mr. Rinesborough years ago when he worked with the fine organization Rainforest Action Network, which Yad Kiddushi Native Center still continues to network with. Patrick has been deeply involved in the movement against corporate globalization. I especially appreciate his essays and the book Globalized Liberation, How to Uproot the System and Build a Better World, published by City Lights Press. That particular book, by the way, is required reading in my Florida Gulf Coast University's Environmental Justice course. Mr. Rinesborough's experience as a direct action organizer, media person, trainer, and educator are very special skills he brings to Smart Meme. I am very proud of his dedication to protecting Mother Earth and his concern for social change. Yad Kiddushi Native Center is honored to welcome Patrick to Wolf Mountain Radio.
It's a real honor. My name is Patrick Rinesborough, and I work with the Smart Meme Strategy and Training Project. I've had the pleasure of being at the Insight Gathering here, working with a wide range of amazing youth activists from different movements.
Patrick, one very important issue both of our organizations are very concerned about is farm worker justice in agribusiness. One special event which we participated together was the National Student Farm Worker Alliance, SFA's annual Encuentro, a gathering of students and youth to support the Coalition of Monthly Workers' struggle for socioeconomic justice and dignity. This is an issue very important to me, since like many Native Americans of my generation, in my youth, I worked many long hours for minimal pay as a farm worker. And secondly, for the past 17 years, my Southwest Florida home is near the town of Immokalee, where many of my compañeros worked in the farm fields. The training session on messaging and media skills was a very important workshop for the youth activists and staff of SFA. Patrick, perhaps you might mention a little bit about the time we were together at the National Student Farm Worker Alliance Coalition of Monthly Workers Encuentro.
Well, Smart Room has a program called the Story Project, and STORY stands for Strategy, Training, and Organizing Resources for Youth. It's a youth leadership and capacity building program working to build a culture of strategy among young activists. One of the things that we do is to partner with youth-led organizations. In the case of the Encuentro in Immokalee that you were just describing, we were working with the Student Farm Worker Alliance to assist them in organizing a gathering and a strategy discussion in the wake of their historic victory, or the Coalition of Immokalee Workers' historic victory over Taco Bell, taking a step towards farm worker justice and a transformation of the global food system. And their student allies and their youth allies who had formed the network, the Student Farm Worker Alliance, were having one of their first national gatherings to think about how they could organize themselves stronger and deeper, and how they could continue to work as allies to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. And so what the STORY program is able to do is to support folks like that by providing facilitation so that the organizers themselves can participate in the meetings and can participate in the strategy conversations. A lot of what Smart Meme's work through the STORY project is help young activists in different movements combine their organizing work with strategies to inject new ideas into the culture, to tell more holistic stories, and to intervene in the stories of the power holders, to intervene in some of the control mythology, some of the big lies that so many Native people live and know well, that know the lies that this country, the United States, is founded in, and been such effective guides and role models for non-Native activists in learning how to be storytellers and learning how to rebuild community. So that was at the Youth Encuentro, that was part of our role, was to support their efforts. Just have to say, it was amazing to be there, not only with the Student Farm Worker Alliance, but to be with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. We've been deeply inspired by their model and the incredible vision that they've brought. We're here, one of the communities, one of the most oppressed and marginalized communities, took on a giant multinational and won, and in the process created incredible organizing models that I think, speaking for myself as a white activist, that I feel like we have so much to learn from. You know, in terms of really the vision and the leadership and the strategy, it was really inspiring to be there.
All units!
From coast to coast, sea to sea, it all used to be Indian country. From coast to coast, sea to sea, it all used to be Indian country. They were living in tribal unity. Tierra del Fuego to the Arctic Sea. Some in the desert, some on the prairie, some in the mountains, some in the valleys. But then one day, they met the white man coming with a gun in his hand. All they wanted was a small piece of land. All they wanted was a small piece of land. But from coast to coast, sea to sea, they called it their manifest destiny. From coast to coast, sea to sea, they called it the manifest destiny. From border to border, and from border to border. And then they wiped out the Sioux at Wounded Knee. Then they took away the Black Hills country. So whether you're a Navajo or a Hopi, or them Sufi or Apache,
tell you how the West was won.
Gonna tell you
how the West was won.
In a murder style, in a murder style.
Tell you how the West was won.
Gonna tell
you how the West was won.
In a murder style, in a murder style.
Don't call them Indians,
call them Native Americans.
Don't call them Indians,
first on the reservation.
Don't call them Indians,
call them Native Americans.
Don't call them Indians.
Juan Casper, there were these foreigners who came to take all the land. They killed men and women and even children.
tell you how the West was won.
In a murder style. In a murder style.
I'll hear this from coast to coast, sea to sea.
It all used to be in the young country. Living in triangular unity, Tierra del Fuego to the Arctic Sea. Then one day they met the white man. All they wanted was a small piece of land.
The song you just heard, entitled How the West Was Won, from Third Mesa Music, featured Hopi singer-songwriter Casper, accompanied by several other reggae musicians. The name of this Third Mesa Music CD is The Sounds of Reality. At a recent Native American Music, Culture, and Arts Festival, Casper gifted me his CD during a Wolf Mountain Radio interview with him, which listeners will hear in a future Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices broadcast. I wanted to play that song in order to stress the point that we Indigenous peoples of what's now called North America, although rooted to our ancestral traditional ways, are also contemporary people, as exemplified by a Hopi Indian singing reggae, which is one modern way for Native peoples to tell our own cultural stories. Casper's reggae music is also an important way to break down many of the stereotypes we American Indians must still deal with. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Oness. My guest in today's program is Mr. Patrick Rainsborough, co-director of Smart Meme. Smart Meme is a youth-led communications media activist organization dedicated to peace, democracy, and social, economic, environmental justice. Their STORY program, Strategy, Training, and Organizing for Youth, works with grassroots community groups helping young activists develop organizing, leadership, and communication skills. Yad Kiddushi Native Center has had the pleasure to participate with Smart Meme at several national youth gatherings over the years, where I presented Wolf Mountain Radio's Journalism Workshop, Communications for Community Activists. My conversation with Patrick is taking place at a three-day National Youth Smart Meme training known as Insight Insight, Storytelling, Movement Building, and Creating a Culture of Strategy. This meeting site is in an old farmhouse retrofitted as the Owl's Nest Lodge on Bradley Lake, in the shadow of Gawas Iwajo, Windfall Mountain, also called Mount Kearsarge. We are within the traditional homeland of the Penacook Indian Nation, what is now called Central and Southern New Hampshire. This Northeast Woodland Merrimack River watershed is a beautiful area of forest, hills, rivers, lakes, and ponds, very similar to my neighboring Wabanaki tribal homeland. This is a good segue to my next question to you, Patrick. You and I share a love of forests, and both of us have been defenders of forests for many years. As most listeners know, I am a professional forest ecologist that has worked to protect various forest ecosystems in the world, as exemplified by the years I lived with native villages in Southeast Asian rainforests, as well as with tribal communities in North America. Patrick, for a time, you worked for Rainforest Action Network a fine group. Yad Kiddush Native Center has assisted and supported for many, many years. I'm also proud to say that I am an early Earth First activist. I know you likewise have participated with Earth First. Would you please share your story about trying to defend the Willamette National Forest, sacred land to a number of Native nations in what is now called Washington State in the Pacific Northwest? If I remember correctly, this 2002 action was where you told me Smart Meme originated.
Yeah, actually, the Smart Meme Project was formed, came together as a training collective at an Earth First national gathering. In 2002, we were asked to come and to create a three-day movement building and strategy training for radical ecology activists. It was actually in the deep divide in the forests of Washington State in the Willamette National Forest. I wish I could say that I knew whose ancestral lands those were. Unfortunately, I don't. But it was a three-day training working to see how could the ecology movement, people who have earth-centered politics, who see the connections between all these issues, could go beyond being the limitations that have been there with the largely white and middle-class environmental movement, and look at ecology and look at Mother Earth as really a model for how to connect different movements that I know, as you know, Onas, as both a Native person and as an ecologist, that ecology and studying and examining nature teaches us about interconnectedness and diversity. And that really, rather than looking at, for us at Smart Meme, rather than looking at ecology or an earth-centered perspective as being a single issue, we look at it as a glue that can hold different issues together as we work for justice in all its forms, to confront the historic patterns of racism and oppression, to confront the ongoing systems of economic injustice and militarism. For us, that was... Our roots are very much in earth-centered politics. A number of us in the collective have been involved in the Earth First Network and believe deeply in not only in earth-centered politics, but in a commitment to nonviolent direct action. That it's essential that, as they say, that action is the antidote to despair. As we work together, we can't count on the politicians to save us or some businesses to save us. Really, it's going to have to be communities, we the people, grassroots activists coming together and creating the world that we want to live in, saying no to the multinational corporations and saying no to their entire value system of money and greed and exploitation and destruction, and starting to move back towards other ways and inventing new ways of looking at how to put dignity and respect and compassion and justice at the center of our vision of the world, and how to create this kind of global U-turn from a global economy that's based on extraction, destruction, and exploitation into a global system that honors the diversity of all life and is based on dignity and equality and hope for the future.
Thank you. trees waited and waited for the Creator's return. They waited many days. And they waited many nights. Began to get tired, and they started to fall asleep. They forgot the promise they had given to the Creator. Only the evergreens remained awake, keeping watch over the earth. When the Creator returned, only the evergreen trees were still awake. As a reminder to everyone to keep their word. During every fall and winter, all trees lose their leaves.
Songwriter Joanne Shenandoah off her Silver Wave Records CD entitled Sky Woman. The name of that beautiful special song, one of my favorites, is entitled Evergreen Tree. This is your host and producer of Wolf Mountain Native Radio, Ones Pritzker. I am here in the traditional Penacook Indian Territory, participating in a National Youth Activist Organizing and media training hosted by a grassroots collective called Smart Meme. I am having a fine conversation for Wolf Mountain Radio with Smart Meme's co-director, Mr. Patrick Rainsborough. We are here in the shadow of Galwas Iwajo, Windfall Mountain, also called Mount Kearsarge. Geographically, this region is now part of central southern New Hampshire. Patrick, last evening at dinner I mentioned to you that it is my Wolf Clan responsibility to be protectors of what in English is called nature, or as we say in my Wabanaki language, Kanawha-Montoquasin, all of our relations, the animals, plants, trees, birds, soil, fish, and marine life. In other words, the natural world we biologists call a biosphere. Since given my first moccasins, this has been my path, guided by various elders and clan mothers. Since the 1970s, I've been dedicated to trying to build coalitions between tribal communities and non-natives in order to defend Mother Earth and all life, as well as supporting social, economic, environmental justice for all peoples everywhere. This work, as you know, is not always easy, especially when many people of color, people of culture, such as American Indians, are often not listened to or allowed to be leaders in the so-called dominant society. Patrick, I'm always interested to hear how it was that non-native friends, such as yourself, were able to hear Mother Earth cry out in support of the defense of sacred lands and native rights. given you were raised in a Eurocentric white society. How did you become an activist?
Well, for me, actually, I split my time growing up. My whole family is actually from Northern Ireland. And on one side of the family are Catholic, on one side are Protestant. So I ended up growing up in the United States because my family, my parents are a mixed marriage, one from a Catholic background, one from a Protestant background. And they would have, in the context of Northern Ireland, which is totally segregated between Catholics and Protestants, they would have probably never met. They actually met in East Africa. So I split my time growing up between the United States and being in Ireland. And throughout the course of my life, I watched what we now call globalization really arrive in Ireland. So whereas my grandparents are truly Irish peasants, and I mean that in the best way, like farmers, subsistence farmers, a 19-acre farm, their entire way of life has been made obsolete, you know, watching a lot of what the so-called conveniences of modern, you know, American consumer culture spread to Ireland, and to see the destruction it was having on losing the countryside. Not only the expansion of the roads, the expansion of the landfills, the expansion of the chemical plants, but also just the destruction of a sense of community and groundedness of being part of a vibrant local economy, where you know where your food comes from, where you know who's making the things that you use. I grew up with that happening in my life, giving me a picture of the mechanics of the global economy, if you will, and the underlying value system of the global economy, the greed and money values that are directly in contrast with the life values that I think you talk so eloquently about. Also, Northern Ireland is, of course, a place marked by colonialism and marked by conflict and marked by ongoing sectarian violence and militarism. And so growing up there, I couldn't help but be exposed to the history. You know, Ireland in many ways is the blueprint for the European conquest and genocide of the Americas. That gave me from a fairly early age an experience and a context for understanding colonialism and genocide. In my own work, as I grew up and was involved in activist struggles, I was drawn to struggles around the environment, looking at this as a truly unique period in history, you know, where you look at the culmination of 500 years of organized white supremacy, of colonialism, of genocide, of occupation. You look at 200 years of industrial capitalism and the strip mining of the resources, the polluting of the air and the water, and the fact that we're hitting the limits of the planet to absorb the toxins and the poison and the depletion that we're having on it, and seeing the massive die-offs of plants and animals, the loss of habitats and of wilderness areas, and the loss of cultures, and the loss of folks like yourself who remember, folks who are part of cultures that are connected to the land, really feeling like that this is the generation that things have to turn around, that we're kind of at that tipping point. So I quickly, in my development as a person working on environmental issues, as a person who is committed to radical environmentalism, by radical, I want to be clear about that. I don't mean, people try to make it sound like radicalism means extreme, whereas radicalism really means getting to the root cause of the problem. And when I look at the severity of the problems that are happening on our planet today, I think we don't have time to deal with the symptoms. We have to confront the causes, and we have to transform them. And so for me, that took me to a place of having that perspective on environmental problems, that really environmental problems are rooted in deep issues of democracy, or the lack of democracy, the corporate takeover of our economy, of our political system, of our culture. With that analysis, I found that a lot of the white environmental movement, full of people that were very concerned about their piece of nature, or their backyard, or some particular ecosystem that they were connected to, but folks that weren't willing to step out from beyond their privilege to really admit that the fundamental direction that modern consumer society is on is at odds with the future of life on the planet. With that disconnect, I turned from, you know, with being a person working in radical ecology networks like Earth First, the logical allies were indigenous sovereignists and were native peoples. And so I had the pleasure of of working with traditional Diné peoples around resisting Peabody coal and the incursions on their traditional lands in Black Mesa, and then working with Anishinaabe and peoples around resisting mining that was happening in Wisconsin, and feeling like that these were the struggles and these were the communities that I had so much to learn from, that there's a very big difference from being someone like myself who's a defector, someone who's left their culture to go and try to make change. That's very different than being a part of a community that is resisting together, that's a resistance community, that's experiencing a common oppression. That's something that this gathering we're at here has really been about, and one of the visions for the Story Project is to build a culture of strategy among young activists who maybe aren't from communities of resistance. Some people may be from impacted communities, some people may be from privileged backgrounds, but to be building something together that has the ability to create the kind of holistic, diverse social movements that can unite people from different backgrounds to confront the root causes of the problems that we're involved in.
Listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yatkidichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yatkidichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yatkidichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yatkidichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yatkidichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yatkidichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yatkidichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yatkidichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yatkidichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yatkidichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yatkidichi's Kinonwatakusin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yatkidichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yatkidichi Native Center, write to Yatkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yatkidichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The music you heard prior to our Yatkidichi Native Center Wolf Mountain Radio program identification featured Maricopa, Dakota native flutist Robert Tree Cody, accompanied by Will Clipman off their Canyon Records CD, Heart of the Wind. The name of that song was First Contact. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. I wish to sincerely thank today's program guest, Mr. Patrick Rinesborough, co-director of Smart Meme. Wolf Mountain Radio encourages all of our worldwide listeners to learn more about Smart Meme and support their important work. Please visit their website, www.smartmeme.com. Once again, Wolf Mountain Radio encourages all of our worldwide listeners to learn more about Smart Meme, their story project, and support their important work. Please visit their website, www.smartmeme.com. Thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Please feel free to send us your email comments to yachtkiddushi@mbachmail.com. Once again, to contact us by email, please write to yatkitishee@embarkmail.com. Well, we shall conclude today's program with a traditional Hopi song by Clark Tenak Hongva off his Kenyan record CD, Hote Villa, Traditional Songs from the Hopi. The name of the song is Thunderheads. Thank you again for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Until next time, this is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kinawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Oh. Hey,